Good morning, good morning.
Well, I heard my directional sister say good morning, and so we greet you, Minister Cynthia, on this In Due Time Tuesday. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. But first, I just want to share a scripture verse. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Father, we come to you this morning. We are so thankful for your love for us, that as we celebrate this Holy Week and as we reflect on what you did for us, that in due time, oh my God, you died for us. You took the scourging and you took the ridicule. You took the beatings, oh God, for us. And we are just so grateful, Lord. And I ask, oh God, that our life will be an example of how grateful we are because we want to live it to please you. Father, we thank you for Dr. Vanessa Weatherspoon. We thank you for Dr. P.K. Roberts. We thank you, Lord, for every family member who has joined us on this call. Father, we ask that you continue to bless them, continue to be with them, continue to have your angels encamped around about them. Father, as I just reflect on your goodness, Lord, I can't help but get emotional to think of what you did for us on Calvary and what you suffered before that time. So, Lord, we thank you so much for the speaker who will bring us a word that we need, know we need to hear. Father, we pray that our hearts are receptive to the word of God. And now, Lord, we ask that you just continue to prepare us for this week that we are about to go through. And then the celebration of what you did and for the reason why you went through everything you went through for us. We thank you for our family members, Lord, who have been away for a while. And we just thank you so much for taking care of their loved ones, Minister Benita. And we thank you for taking care of Minister Kai, Lord, and Minister Ada's mom, Lord. We give you praise and we call it done. It is in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Well, host, are you there?
I am here, Minister Willa. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. God bless you.
Well, thank you, Minister Willa, for seating and greeting the people and opening us up in prayer. And I say good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to the Master's Call. My name is Minister Kai, and I reside in the great city of Norcross, Georgia. And I want to welcome you and thank everyone for joining us in the TMC Telecommunications Sanctuary. And we wish you all the warmest of kingdom's greetings. This call is all about the Master, and as a family, we gather early in the morning faithfully to give God the reverence, praise, glory, and honor that is due him as we begin our day. The Master's Call was founded on October 25th of 2010 by two amazing and dynamic women of God, Dr. P.K. Roberts and Dr. Vanessa Weatherspoon. When God gave the mandate, he also gave the mission, which is to enrich, enhance, and empower believers as we begin our day. And because we know our God is a God of order, we know that this call is founded on his word. And the scripture reference for this call is Psalms 88:13. But to you I have cried out, O Lord, and in the morning my prayer comes before you. Here on the Master's Call, we start this call in prayer, we end this call in prayer, and we hope that you continue each and every day in prayer. For those of you with cell phone networks that charge for the regular dial-in number, we have a bridge number, and that number is 857-957-1147. This call is brought to you live each week, Monday through Friday, and each day you can hear that day's recording by dialing 712-432-1085, and the access code is 957-677-POUND. All of the messages are recorded and archived from the inception of this call in 2010 and can be played back by visiting our website. That's themasterscall.net. That's themasterscall.net. Also there you can find the prayer objectives, speaker bios, and other information related to our call. Now, if you are feeling led to join the team and be a greeter like Minister Willa did or host as I am doing, or if you feel that the Lord has given you a word in your belly for such a time as this, or if you have a praise report or a prayer request, please email us at info@themasterscall.net. That's info@themasterscall.net, and either Dr. Vanessa or our prayer general, Minister Brenda, will get back with you. Immediately following this call is the new Morning Motivational Call, and this call is hosted by a group of dynamic leaders throughout artists' life. They keep us informed, energized, and moving to enhance the lives of others. That number is 712-770-4005, and the access code is 294-617#. Calling all Artist Life distributors, the 2017 Artist Life Leadership Conference will be May 6th in Los Angeles, California, and May 20th in Houston, Texas. And the one in Houston is at the Hobby Airport Marriott. Stay tuned for more information, and please check your back office for registration information. So now I'm going to get out of the way, so that this amazing man of God, the mouthpiece with the message straight from the throne room, can come forth and bless us. Today's speaker is none other than our very own Pastor Everett Thomas. Pastor Thomas is a baptized, born-again believer and an ordained minister. He has been preaching the gospel for over 35 years. He is the first assistant minister to the late pastor of Mount Zion Baptist Church and is the past senior evangelist of the Calvary Baptist District. He currently serves as a senior minister at Mercy House Church in Ecorse, Michigan. He is also a certified biblical counselor. Pastor Everett is the founder and president of Jehovah Jireh Ministries. This ministry provides for the needs of people and has sponsored coffee house concerts, seminars, and assisted the elderly. Pastor Everett officiates Sunday worship service at the Across the Park apartment complex for the tenants that cannot get out to church. His belief that iron sharpened iron led him to organize and facilitate a weekly men's ministry breakfast. Pastor Everett is committed to God and community. He is the past president of the Lincoln Park Rotary and is a 13-year board member of the Downriver YMCA. Is the past president of the Downriver Interdenominational Ministerial Alliance and is on the board of the International Christian Education Association. Pastor Everett has been married to his wife Cheryl for over 20 years. His mission is to be used by God to transform the lives in spirit, soul, and truth. I will present to some and introduce to others none other than our very own Pastor Everett Thomas. Pastor Thomas, are you there?
Oh, yes, I am. Can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear. The floor is yours, man of God.
God bless your heart. Thank you for such a warm introduction. To God be the glory. Great things he has done and yet doing in our lives. And we thank God for an opportunity to serve today. We thank God for Dr. Vanessa Weatherspoon and Dr. T.K. Roberts for the opportunity to be a part of this call. And we just all take time to also honor Minister Willa and thank you, Minister Kai, for both you serving on today. We realize this is Holy Week, and people go Passover, what have you. And I just want to give a quick background. What I just have, we got a whole week to deal with this, and those that's going to follow me the rest of the week. Just want to share this little tidbit for us today. This Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection occurred near the day of Passover, which allows Christians to determine the dates for Good Friday and Easter. Since the first Christians were Jews, they made the connection that Jesus' crucifixion was like the sacrifice of the Passover lamb occurring at the same time, and that God's deliverance of the Hebrew slaves was mankind's delivery from sin because of Jesus' crucifixion. Both indicated a new life. According to Paul, 1 Corinthians 5:7 refers to Christ as the Passover lamb. Many times in the New Testament, Jesus was referred to as the Lamb of God, the perfect and final sacrifice for human sin. Just want to give you a little bit of history there. But I feel led to go another way this morning, invite your attention to Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Romans 12:1-2. Read it from the Message translation. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level and of immaturity. God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. This morning, we want to think on this thought of finding God's will for your life. I always like to tell people that there is an assignment with your name on it. God has a will for all of us, and many of us still are searching where God will really have us to be in life. There are some people just basically, just existing, basically. They just satisfy how they're existing with their life. As long as they have a place to lay their head and a piece of bread, they're cool. They're satisfied. But God has a plan, as we hear many times, a plan and a purpose for our lives. And even with our ministry with artists, we have to determine what our why is, why are we really a part of such an awesome company. So it behooves us to reflect sometimes, just take it down and say, why am I here? What is it that God has for me? We know that Jesus came. He said, my purpose is to do my Father's will. And he says also that no man take my life. I lay it down. So he came with a purpose. He knew that he had to fulfill a purpose to pay the sin debt that we couldn't pay. So Jesus he didn't come aimlessly. He knew why he came. In fact, we say many times that he was born to die. Without shedding blood, there's no remission of sin. So we realize that Jesus knew what he came for. In fact, he also said, I came that you may have life and have it more abundantly, praise God. So we have to look at ourselves as well and reflect and say, well, God has a purpose and plan for my life. So finding God's will for your life is very, very vital. We don't want to leave here not experiencing God's purpose and plan for our life and also performing that. So, God has a will for your life. We have to understand that. And the Bible teaches God has a plan for our lives before one day of them begins, according to Psalm 139, verse 16. It only stands to reason that if God has a will or plan for our lives, he wants us to know that plan. It's not his intention to hide his will from us. The problem is we don't take the time and effort to find it. So when we refer to the will of God, we are really talking about two things. First, there's God's moral will. Certain things are God's moral will for everyone. For example, we look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. It talks about God's will. It's God's will that we be sanctified and that we stay away from sexual immorality. Sex outside of marriage is wrong because God says so. There's a fixed standard of right and wrong that will never change. And God's moral will is always for us to do what is right and not to do what is wrong. There's a second part of God's will called God's special will. And that is what we will discuss so quickly here. And God's moral will is the same for everyone, but God's special will is different, at least to some degree, for everyone. God has had a special will for Paul. For example, in Acts chapter 9:15, God chose Paul to take his name to the Gentiles. So God has a special will for each one of us, just as he did for Paul. So we have to look at these three steps that deals with the will of God in our lives. There's a presentation, separation, and transformation. Let's look at the first step here, presentation. Basically, God's will is having three characteristics. I'll ask you, he wants us to be happy, healthy, and holy. Every command in the Bible allows one of these three to be true in our lives, so it's our choice to miss out on being happy, healthy, and holy. I mean, you know, we make choices in life that really either push us toward God or pull us away from God. Amen. So the word that God wants to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, the word bodies refers to our whole selves, our minds, ears, eyes, mouths, hands, feet, our entire beings. It is total commitment to God. In Old Testament times, people would offer the dead sacrifice to God, but today we offer him ourselves, all our abilities as living sacrifices. Wow. This is such a something to acknowledge. In fact, even in marriage, I heard a story, in fact, it's about the marriage vow. And when we go to stand before the altar, many of you repeat his vows. It says, will you take your spouse to be your wedded wife and forsaking all others, cleave only to her? But imagine that someone stands there and says, they look at this their bride-to-be and say, I'm not sure. What am I going to do with Mary? What about Susie? What about Betty? What about Pat? And so here's this guy standing up there looking at his bride or wife-to-be, talking about these other ones. But about that time, the ceremony would have come to an abrupt end or abrupt halt because this bride-to-be or wife-to-be would have abruptly walked out the door. So when we come to marriage altar, we present ourselves totally, completely, and without reservation to each other, as I supposed to be. But that is exactly what we must do when we present ourselves to God as living sacrifices. Wow, isn't that amazing? All right, so we're looking at the presentation, and the second step is separation. We ought to offer our bodies as holy sacrifices, and the word holy means set apart or different from the world so God can use us. It implies availability and usability. Old Testament temple, the vessels and furniture were called holy because they were set apart to be used in God's service. So we look at the second part of our text here, Romans chapter 12, verse 2. The first part of that says, I am not to conform to this world. This means not letting the world squeeze us into its mold. The world has a mold. It is invisible but very real. It is much like a gelatin or jello mold. You understand how we do with jello molds and how it works. You dissolve jello in hot water, pour it into a mold, and then place it in the refrigerator till the jello gels, right? So once it's gelled, it can be dumped out, and the jello will have assumed that shape of the mold. So the same way the world has a mold for how we ought to think, the values we should have, the pleasures we need to enjoy in every other area of life. The tragedy of our day is there are far too many jello Christians who have conformed to the mold of this world. So finding God's will requires a permanent separation from the ways of the world. We cannot continue to think, talk, and behave like the world and expect God to reveal his will for our lives. So repeating again, we have to look at as we discuss this, the will that we're trying to develop is the presentation, separation, and finally we look at the third step, which is transformation. The Greek word translated transform or metamorpho is the word from which we get metamorphosis. It implies a basic change that alters our entire being. Metamorphosis is a term to describe the transformation of a caterpillar into a butterfly. Caterpillars appear to be just fat worms. Most are very attractive, but they eventually spin themselves into a cocoon, right? And so the drab or gray cocoons certainly aren't pretty either, but inside their cocoons, they are an incredible transformation that is taking place. The cocoon finally breaks open, and from it emerged a beautiful butterfly with all the breathtaking colors only God can create. Have you ever seen a real beautiful butterfly? Isn't that amazing how God can make such an awesome creature? So the same incredible process occurs every time a person is changed into a child of God by the transforming power of God's Holy Spirit. So this transformation takes place by the renewing of the mind. The outward change that shows up in our attitudes and actions is due to renovation of our thought process. So we look at Proverbs 23:7. The first part says, "For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." All right, isn't that something? So we have to look at how we think in life, our thought patterns of life. In other words, we need to get rid of stinking thinking. Come on, somebody. So as we read and study the Bible, it changes the way we think and it turns the way we act a different way. We must daily and habitually and consistently fill our minds and thoughts with the Word of God. So we find it in Psalm 119, verse 11, says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." Okay, so salvation or conversion is instantaneous. You know, we understand that. It occurs the moment we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. However, transformation, also called sanctification in the Bible, is gradual and progressive. It occurs as we focus our minds upon the Word of God and let the metamorphosis take place as Jesus Christ begins to show up in our daily lives. So someone said it took God just one day to get Israel out of Egypt, but it took God 40 years to get Egypt out of Israel. Got that? Did you get that? Let me read that again. It took God just one day to get Israel out of Egypt, but it took God 40 years to get Egypt out of Israel. In the same way, it only takes God a moment to get us out of sin. However, it takes a lifetime to get sin out of some of us and make us like Christ. To find God's will, we must make ourselves usable through the process of transformation. Imagine a man pushing an automobile into a gas station. All four tires are flat. The windshield is broken out. The crankcase has a hole in it. So all the oil is gone. The battery is missing. The gas tank is filled with trash. The gas station attendant comes out and the man says, "Fill it up." If you were the attendant, what would you think? This automobile is a good illustration of the spiritual condition of many Christians who say to God, "Show me your will." And God replies, "Why? You are not prepared to do my will." So when we find God's will for our lives, we will say, "Oh, wow, I found it." Praise God. Hallelujah. So we will be excited, won't we? So it's important to understand that God created us to do his will because we look at the Romans chapter 12, verse 2. It says, "He is good and acceptable and perfect." That's his will. That's his will for us. So the word purpose means to lack nothing. Therefore, when we find God's will for our lives, we find significance and purpose because our lives are complete. There is incompleteness, a void in every human heart that only finding God's will can fill. So we must understand that it's a process, three-step process, pre-presentation, separation, and transformation. The question is to you today, my brothers and sisters, do you really know God's will for your life? Are you actively about doing God's will for your life? Understand we have an assignment with our name on it. God bless you. May God keep you. Back to you, Minister Kai.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, man of God. Pastor Everett, I'll be calling you back for the benediction. Let us go to God in prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you for the man of God and the word that you brought forth through him. Lord, are we really looking and searching for your will for our lives? Father, we know that we need to surrender ourselves and just be with Pastor Efford as he continues to walk through that which you've called him to, oh God. Make everything that his hand touches prosper, oh Heavenly Father. Father, pour back the virtue into him that he so willingly and so lovingly poured out into us. Lord, as we just continue to walk in your way, we ask that you keep the Des De Leon family. Father, keep a hedge of protection around them as they guide artist life as you direct them, O Heavenly Father. Father, touch their hearts and minds, O Heavenly Father. Be a loving witness so that they may continue to do all that you have called them to do with artist life. Father, we ask that you continue to touch our co-founders, Dr. Vanessa Weatherspoon and Dr. P.K. Roberts, O Lord. Lord, we ask that you just continue to be their all in all. Do the exceeding and abundant according to the power that worketh in them, O Heavenly Father. Lord, we thank you that you just continue to be a hedge of protection around them. Father, we thank you that Dr. PK's health is impeccable. We thank you that Dr. Vanessa is walking it out according to your plan, your Jeremiah 29:11 plan for their lives, O Heavenly Father. Lord, we ask that you continue to touch the bereaved families. Be with them in their time of need. And as everyone departs from them, O Lord, give them your peace which passes all understanding, as only you can do, O Heavenly Father. Lord, we thank you simply because you are God all by yourself, and we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor that is due you. Lord, and as we just continue to walk through this Holy Week, help us to surrender all that we are to your perfect will for our lives. Help us to remember that Jesus died on the cross that we may come back to you, that we would be restored to right relationship with you. Let us not forget what he sacrificed so that we could be with you, O God, so that we could come boldly before the throne of grace that we may receive mercy. So, Father, we just thank you for all that you've done and all that you continue to do, O God. Lord, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor that is due you simply because you are God. Lord, we love you, we magnify you, and we call it done in the matchless name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we say amen, amen, and amen. Again, immediately following this call is the new morning motivational call. And that number is 712-770-4005. And the access code is 294-617-POUND. If you want to hear this message again, and I'm sure that you do post it to your social media, you can do so by dialing 712-432-1085, and the access code is 957-677-POUND. Remember, the 2017 Artist Life Leadership Conferences will be held May 6th in Los Angeles, California, and May 20th in Houston, Texas, at the Hobby Airport Marriott. Check your back office for registration. We are so glad that you have joined us, and we look forward to hearing you again tomorrow. We are just blessed that we continue to walk out this Holy Week according to God's will for our lives. We say thank you, thank you, thank you again to Minister Willa for feeding and greeting the people, and to the man of God for bringing forward such a profound word for such a time as this. Again, Pastor Everett, would you please come back and give us our benediction?
May the Lord bless you and watch God and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon and enlighten you and be gracious, be kind and merciful and give me favor unto you. May the Lord lift up his approval, confidence upon you and give you peace, tranquility of heart and life continually. Henceforth, now, and forever, in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.